Okay. Well, several people keep asking me to keep having these little question and answers. They think that they get a lot of stuff from them. So anyway, this evening, a lot of people have been recently, I get a lot of people talking to me about divine guidance. And I'm waiting for guidance. I'm waiting for this. I am waiting for divine spirit to come down and tell me what to do. And it's wonderful to be waiting for divine guidance, but you could wait your whole life for divine guidance. And divine guidance is there. But divine guidance, to me and in my life anyway, only comes into play when I take a step. Because then when you take the step, it's like being at a crossroads. And you either take the left fork or the right fork, and you're there and you have to make a decision. Well, if I take the right fork, I'm going to go on the motorway. If I take the left fork, I'll go through the beautiful country scenery side and everything else, and I'd be on the B road. So, it won't be as fast, but it'll be much more beautiful. So, to me, divine guidance is like that. Because a spark of divine guidance, and you're waiting for something, the door to open for you. And so the door doesn't really open for you until you take the step, because you got across the threshold. When you get divine guidance, when I get divine guidance, I ask for confirmation that it is the right thing for me to do. And I will look for something in the physical, and it may be I'd pick up the newspaper or turn on the radio or something, and something will happen, or I'll turn on the television that will tell me that that guidance is correct. And so I will follow that guidance. But it's for me to take the step. It is not waiting for divine inspiration to take that step. And, I get divine guidance for people, and I send them an email and I tell them, look, I've just got this that, this is what's something that you need to look at doing. And I had one situation there recently where I was speaking to a woman, and she sent me back an email immediately that I sent her the email, and she said, oh my God, I just prayed last night for a divine guidance for my next step. And she said, I'll get your email this morning. And she said, this is something I really want to do, but now I'm going to wait for divine guidance. Well, to me, if something like that happened to me, I would be immediately taking the step of the person that called. Because if you call, if you ask and you make a prayer for guidance, and you get an email the following morning from somebody telling you, answering your request, and then it is for me, I would take that step. And then when I take that step, it will then tell me it will flow freely or I will get blocked. If it flows freely for me, I know that I'm on the right path and I will continue walking that path to do whatever that inspiration was to do. And if I say it's to go visit somebody in Florida, say, and I try to book the flight to Florida and it doesn't work, then I know I will do it two or three times, and if I can't get that flight booked, then I know that that's not what exactly the inspiration that I was getting. And so this is how we build up what it is, our conscious connection with our avatars of light, or beings of light that work with at the masters. It's for us to work with them. It is for us to talk with them and to experience. And sometimes everything will flow perfectly, and sometimes they will block us. And so it is for us to understand. It's like a discernment. And so it is, instead of forcing it through, if we get blocked two or three times for like being booking the flight and you keep forcing it, then you're having your will instead of higher will. And so this is the way that I have what I have come to understand. And does anybody have a question about that? Or a comment to make about it? Do you think that's the way divine guidance works for you? Or do you have some other way of doing it?
No, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
If it works out easy, then that's the way you should go. Otherwise, it should be, a brick in the head that tells you, if there's blocks all the time, then that's not the way to go.
Yeah. And it's all about the flow, being in the flow and conscious flow and the light beings and the light beings that work with us, whether they're avatars of light, beings of light, angels, whatever it is that's working with you, or it could be a combination of all of the above. All these beings of light work with us for a specific reason, and they work with us to take us deeper into the fifth dimension. And as we go more deeply, we walk more consciously aware, and then as we walk and we get a divine inspiration, and we can then at that moment in time determine whether this is divine right action that we take on this, or whether it is something that we have to ponder and ask for confirmation on. And so I use my two fingers. I put my thumb and my ring finger of my left hand together, and then I ask the question, and if it breaks, it is not to happen. If I have resistance and I can't break, when I put in my other finger and try to push it through, I ask the question, and if it doesn't break, that's a yes. The other, if it's a break, it's a no. And so, we learn how to use little tools like that to do things like that. And so, if anybody else has a comment on that, if not, we will move on. If anybody has a question of what they would like to ask me about something, we're in this, we're in this period of time where, people are feeling tired, they're feeling exhausted, they have all sorts of, they're feeling stuck. But we've just come out of two eclipses. And so we had a new moon eclipse and a full moon eclipse. And so that is where we're working through all of that. And now we had, sort of the resurrection at Easter, which was the full moon. And now we have another full moon, and we have Mercury going retrograde. Actually, Mercury went retrograde on the, oh no, it's going on the 28th, I think it is, that Mercury is going retrograde. Mars is retrograde now. Mercury is going retrograde on the 28th of this month. And Mercury is always about doing inner work. Everything about retrograde is about asking us to look within. There's some very positive things because in retrograde, because all of these planets that are retrograde and everything else are asking us to look within ourselves. And they're bringing up all the issues for us that we really need to deal with. And so it is, sort of for us to be in flow. And if any of you read the notice I sent out about the full moon and the Wesak full moon, I attached to it an astro alert by James Tyburn. And he's an amazing person, but he wrote a whole thing about it, and he tells you what gemstones and pendants and everything else are really good to wear during all of these retrograde times. And it's very interesting that a lot of them are amethyst and lapis. And so, there are some other things in there as well, that is azurite and a couple of other ones like that. And so they help us. They help to balance our energy. And so these are wonderful tools to think about. And so, any other questions? Anybody got a question they would like to ask? I put in a whole bunch of suggestions for you so that if anybody had something they wanted to ask.
Yeah, the 13 gateways. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Well, the 13 gateways are when we moved into the fifth dimension. The 13 gateways came about at winter solstice 2012. At winter solstice 2012, we moved into a whole new dimension of awakened consciousness. And when we moved into the awakened consciousness, we moved into the fifth dimension. And when we moved into the fifth dimension, we moved into a new level of understanding about life, about ourselves, because we moved into, what shall we say, it would be a higher level of awareness, of understanding. And so it moved us into the fifth dimension, so we were much more consciously aware. And so, we were much more consciously aware. But when we moved into awakened consciousness and the fifth dimension, we went into a new period of time where there was 13 gateways. And through those 13 gateways, with the 13th gateway, the 13th gateway will be at winter solstice 2023. That is the date I was given for the final gateway. And on 2024, we have our transition year. 2025, that is when the planet is to move fully into the golden age. And during that time, we will have all of the different things. I will come back to the 13 gateways in a minute. But in the 13 gateways, as the 13 gateways work, they work in conjunction with the seven rays. And the seven rays they come down to us through the Big Dipper. And so you have the three major rays and the four minor rays. And just like the Big Dipper, they come down to us like that. And they are, filtered to us through the planet, depending on how much energy humanity can take. And so, the part of ray one is to transmute anything that no longer serves humanity, and it is also known as the destroyer, because it will get rid of anything that no longer serves humanity. It will either be transmuted or it will just fade away. It will kind of have no more energy. If you want to take, I was just thinking yesterday, there is something that's kind of fading away in the world that we all know at the moment. If you look at the Republican Party, it's in such absolute chaos, and you have Donald Trump out there, and you have it in, they don't know which part of the party is there. Everybody's in total flux. And so they are wondering what's happening to their party. They've lost all, I suppose you could say, they've lost their mission. And so it's like, and I believe that this is something that's happening, and we will see much more of this happening in things, because anything that's not serving humanity is going to be transmuted. And I believe if the Republican Party is to move forward, it will have to reconstitute itself, remake itself. And so that is just an example. Another example, I kept getting in meditation for the last couple of days to look at the government of Ireland, and then keep going, because I do a lot of meditations out in Tara, and I'm going, what is going on in Ireland? So I went and looked at what is going on in Ireland with the government. Well, they had an election at the end of February, but they still have no government, because the ruling party, which would be, again, I suppose they would be more like the Democrats. they did not get an overall majority this time. There's 158 seats in the Irish Parliament, and so they only got 54. And then the second party, which would be the equivalent to the Republicans, they got 44. So neither of them could put together a government. If the two of them came together, they could create a government of national unity. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And they've been negotiating all of this since, like, for 6 weeks now. And so then the next party that came had 23 seats, which is Sinn Féin, and nobody wants to go into government with Sinn Féin. And so then the rest of them, which was like 43 seats, were all independents and not aligned to any party. So here it is, they have this total and absolute flux where, you know, sort of they will have to create some form of national unity government to bring it together, because you have all these independents, and neither of the two major parties can put anything together. So they will have to come up with a formula to create a new kind of government. And I believe we will see much more of this, because our governments are not serving humanity, they're not serving the people, and so this is part of what is happening. And I believe this is all being done by Ray One, but also this year we're in Awaken to Clarity. And Awakening to Clarity means that we're awakening to clarity within our own lives, clarity within the government, transparency within our own lives, transparency within the government. We're coming to consciously understand and have clarity about who we are and about oneness. Now, to have oneness and to be consciously aware, we need to look at the journey of our soul. And in that conscious awareness that's happening to us at the moment, we have to look at our shadow side. And our shadow side brings with it all kinds of wonderful things for us to look at. And it asks us to be consciously aware. It asks us to look at the being in the side of the street, the beggar, because the beggar is part of us. And so as we realize that the beggar is part of us, it is part of the oneness, and it leads us to express the magnificence of our potential, of our soul. And so it is like emotional karmic clearing. And so this is all of what's happening with us this year. We're looking at all of that. All of that is happening in our lives. It is bringing it up. It asks us to stop being in judgment of ourselves, and to forgive ourselves for being human and imperfect. And, you know, and when we judge ourselves, we automatically judge others, because we're bringing up that aspect of ourselves. Like, if we deny our ugliness, we lessen our beauty. If we deny our greed, we lessen our generosity. So these are all things that are coming up for us. It's asking us, it's look in the mirror and remember, you know, sort of all of the different things that is happening to us. And so that is very much about what's happening this year. It is really asking us to look with great clarity at our shadow side, and you know, it's asking us to embrace ourselves, mm-hmm. and all the parts, pardon, and all the dark shadows of ourselves, and it's asking us to recollect ourselves. And so you know, that's for this year. And next year, it's going to be about wisdom. So we're going to have, wisdom will be what we're looking at next year. We'll be looking at our wisdom. Like, all of 2012 was about ascension. and 2000 at winter solstice 2012. We went into awakened consciousness, and then at winter solstice 2013, we are awakening to the soul's journey. And at winter solstice 2014, we're awakening to our own divinity. And at winter solstice this year, last year in December, we awakened to clarity. And at December of this year, we're going to be awakening to wisdom. And each doorway is that we open takes us to a higher level of understanding. And these gateways that we go through, we had the first gateway at Spring Equinox 2013, and we had that in Iona. And that was like an amazing interdimensional experience. We had the second one at Autumn Equinox that year, and that was at Chartres Cathedral in France. Then we had the third one. We were back on Iona again at Autumn Equinox 2014. And we were back there again. And again, it's a major interdimensional experience. And on both of our experiences on Iona, we had Iona Abbey totally to ourselves for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Nobody came in. We had that whole place to ourselves. And immediately we were finished our ceremonies and everything we were doing there, people started to come back in again. And this year, last year then, it was at Tara in Ireland, at summer solstice. We had the fourth interdimensional gateway open at Tara. And then this year, we're back on Iona at Autumn Equinox, and we have a major interdimensional doorway opening again. And that takes us to a higher level of understanding, a higher level of consciousness, and the people who attend these various events find themselves with a heightened consciousness, a heightened awareness. Their healing abilities are enhanced. They have all sorts of different things that happen. Their lives are definitely changed by experiencing these events. And I can tell you that next year, I have been told that the interdimensional gateway that will be opened, which will be the sixth gateway, will be opened at Autumn Equinox at Tara in Ireland. Now, after that, I don't know when the seventh interdimensional gateway is, because I only get the information usually around Spring Equinox each year. I get the information telling me what's going to happen the following year. If you had asked me in January this year what would we be awakening to in our ascension consciousness in 2017, I could not have told you. I only got that, as I say, about a month ago. So anything, does that answer all your questions, Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you want to know about that, or anybody else have a question from that? You know, and each of you, I'm sure, understand the importance of the shadow. And it's just us looking and being consciously aware of the different things, what makes us upset. One of the things issues that I had to deal with myself, which used to make me so angry, was dealing with people on customer service. And they would read the answer off the screen, irrespective of what question you got the standard stock answer, which would drive anybody totally insane. And so I used to get in and say, you know, I want you to listen to my question and please answer me without reading me the answer off the screen. I want you to tell me what you know, not what the screen tells you that you know. And so because within each of us, you know, lies a beautiful treasure, And it, as we just take away, as I call them, the outer layers of clay, we find the beauty within ourselves, you know? And so we just, like there was a, in Thailand, you know, there's a story about the Buddha in Thailand, and they were going to relocate this massive clay Buddha. And so, because they were moving the temple. And so, as they were relocating this huge clay Buddha in Thailand, one of the monks saw a crack in the clay, and something was reflecting back to him. So he got a little chisel and a little hammer, and he started to chip away at the clay to see what was shining out at him. And to his amazement, he found that what was underneath a couple of inches of clay was a golden Buddha. And it is the largest golden Buddha in Thailand to this day. And so here it is, you know, the golden Buddha and the clay around it is a little bit like ourselves. We have these little masks of clay around us because we don't want to kind of look at ourselves. And I find that the more I look at myself, the better I understand myself. And if I get upset about something, I want to know what that person or what that situation is mirroring for me, because I want to know if it is something, if it's my stuff or if it's their stuff. And I have to use discernment in that. If it's their stuff, then they got to work it out themselves. If it's my stuff, then I've got to work it out. You know, and so it's, everybody is a mirror for us. Everybody is a teacher, as I say, even the beggar on the side of the street, because he's part of us, because we're all from the same sack of flour. And so it's for us to like chase down our shadow and to remember our beauty. You know, it's like I said earlier, if we deny our beauty, we enhance our ugliness. So, you know, we don't want to do that, you know. And so, anyway, that's where I am on that. Okay, anybody with another question?
I have a question, Finbar. This is Anne. Hi, good evening.
Hi, Anne. Good evening.
Hi. I have a question about, I would take it that the information, does it come to you in meditation? Where are the places for the gateways? You were saying like in the spring equinox.
Yeah, they come to me in meditation.
Yes.
I get
in that
meditation.
Time.
Yeah, usually around spring equinox, I get the what's happening for the next year. And
I see.
So then during the year, and then I might be in meditation, like, you know, that thing that I talked about, Donald Trump and about,
yeah.
Ireland, they pop up in meditation as well. And I keep wondering why are these things, because I don't have television. So the only time I see television is when I go to the gym or I'm in the car and I'm listening to NPR. And so I have no clue about what, I don't read newspapers, so I have no clue about that. And like when for 3 mornings in a row, I kept getting this thing about the Irish government. And then last night, I just went into to the Google and put in Irish government. And that's how I found out that all of this thing is going on. And so that to me is my divine inspiration, because then it tells me something, it opens up something else for me in my consciousness. It's something that I might be, you know, on ray one of the 7 rays, and where I'd be thinking about transmutation or something like that. And then I will get this little thing to look at that. And that's where I got the Donald Trump, and that's where I got the Ireland thing. And I look at that, and you know, I have been told a couple of years ago, I know that I sent out an email about it, and it was like the darkest hole on the planet. And then I did another one about politics and something else. But they were, you know, again, things from spirit telling me that you know, England was the darkest hole in the planet at this moment in time, the English government. And so, and that is still the case. But so, and that's why we do meditations that, that take us in with the golden flame into those. And I'm going to be doing another thing shortly about the Trinity of I have to look for a, I have to come up with a name. I'm waiting to be given a name. But it's like there's two very dark sections in the, on our planet right now. The English government being number one, and then we have another one, and then we have the unseen one in the belly of the beast. And so I got this in meditation as well. And so I work with it, and I work with different avatars and of light. And I work a lot, as most people know, with Mother Mary. Most of my information comes from Mother Mary. And so I work a lot with the Divine Feminine, Divine Mother. And so every day in meditation and in my journaling, I get divine inspiration, and I take that, and or it can be just inspiration. I don't know if I would call it divine inspiration, but I suppose it is divine inspiration.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, so you know, it's here is part of the dilemma that each of us go through, I think, especially for me anyway, because I have this, when I get this information, I don't want people to feel that I'm an ego or something, you know, that this is the purest information that I'm getting, and I don't want somebody to think that this is my ego. So I'm always very hesitant and reticent about putting a lot of the information that I get out there. Because, and this is something that Spirit has told me I've got to work with in claiming my own power. And this is part of what I'm doing at this moment in time in my life. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You had talked about the clarity of the first ray of,
yeah.
of bringing the clarity.
Yeah.
When is the energy, will it be that the energy of the second ray will come more in, and when will that be?
Oh, the second ray is around right now as well. The second ray is Master. The first ray is by Master El Moya. The second ray is Kitumi, and Kitumi is like the draftsman. The architect of the plan, in conjunction with Master Saint Germain and Mother Mary, because they are the overlighting people of the seventh ray, bringing in the rays of the Aquarian age. So we have all of that going on, and so then you have ray three, which is the builder. So all the rays are active at the moment in their own particular way. And you have rays.
Oh, okay.
You
so
have
they're all present.
They're all charging forward at the moment. And then you have ray six, which is all about fundamentalism and everything. And that's having its final hurrah at the moment on the planet. So that's why we have so much fundamentalism and everything happening at the moment, is because this is like their final what shall we call
last
it?
Last stand.
Last stand, yeah. It'd be
last
like,
stand.
No, yeah, the last
yeah. moment.
And so it's all this fanatical religious beliefs and all of that. And they control filling people with fear. And so this is the whole thing. And this, of course, is part of what our governments are doing to us now as well, is that they are filling us with fear because they realize that all of this spiritual and evolution is happening. And so the only way they can control us is through fear. And so you have the bankers as well trying to control us by trying to make us a cashless society. and they want us to use more and more cards. And eventually, one of these mornings, we will wake up. I don't know when it will be, and there will be no more cash available. Cash will be outlawed. And we will have, and when a bank collapses in the not-too-distant future, because it's already happened in Cyprus, and that was kind of like a test case. And we will have bail-ins. So say, for example, you're in New York National Bank. I don't know if there's such a bank as New York National Bank. But anyway, say, for example, you have a deposit in your account is in New York National Bank, and New York National Bank runs itself into a little trouble. Instead of having a bailout, they're going to have a bail-in. And so they will look at the total amount of money deposited over a certain amount in individuals' accounts. And they will turn around and say, they say they have $3 billion in deposits from individuals. They will turn around and say, well, it's going to take us $1 billion to make the bank solvent. So they will take 33% of everybody's balance. Your balance will automatically be reduced by 33%. And the bank will be back solvent, which instead of you having 100,000 in the bank, you will only have 66,000. And so that is part of where we're heading.
And so should we all leave the banks?
Well, no. The whole thing is that you won't be able to withdraw your money, because they'll have it will just happen on a Monday morning or a Friday morning or something like that, and that's the way it will be done. And the president will sign an executive order, and that's how it'll be done. And this is like you can bet money on this that this will happen. And the next bank that will go into trouble will not have a bailout. It will be a bail-in. And because it's already happened in Cyprus. And this is what will happen. And so that's why bankers have absolutely no, you know, they don't care. They only think about themselves. They really don't care about their depositors or anything else. But I'm not going to go off on that tangent. But I think people should be aware that this is happening in the world. And we need to be aware of all of these different things that are happening. And by being aware, we're not getting into judgment. We're looking at it. And because the minute we get into judgment, we are losing our power. And so if we look at it and just stand there and hold the energy, it's the same thing as when we hold the energy for, what's happening in Syria. And so, we all know that it's absolutely nothing to do with bringing American democracy to Syria. And the whole of the Middle East, you know, we went in. The Middle East is in such chaos now. It's a lot worse than it was ever under Saddam Hussein or anything like that. The people are worse off. There's millions of people homeless. There's all of this. And this all happened in the name of us bringing them democracy. It is for people to find their own level. And so if we didn't decide that we were going to go in and do all of this, we create terrorism. We create all of these different things by our actions. And if Northern Ireland was to teach people anything, it was to teach them that every time, and this is the peace accord came out of all of this in the end, because the British knew that they couldn't win against the IRA for the simple reason that every time, and they used the same thing, they had a shoot to kill policy in Northern Ireland, and that was if there was a suspected terrorist, they just shot him through a sniper rifle. Now they use drones in the Middle East to do exactly the same thing. And so what happened is every time they shot somebody, at least five more people came up to replace that one that got shot. And so they kept finding that they could not. So the only way through in the end was a political solution. And that was the only way in the Middle East. But we have created such total havoc. And we're telling people we're doing it to make them safe. How are we doing it to make them safe? We're only making more terrorists every day. And so,
I agree.
And this is about, I don't get, I look at this and I shake my head and I don't get into judgment about it, but I am aware about what's happening. And that is the most important thing for us to be, is to be aware. Because then we can, once we're aware, we're not in judgment. And so that is the whole thing about us being in the fifth dimension, is that we have this great understanding and awareness. And so that is what our masters and the masters and avatars and beings of light and angels and archangels and the billions of people, entities that are working with us, is to get us to understand this, and that we are all from the same sack of flour, and to understand that the jihadist is no different to a fundamentalist Christian, because the fundamentalist Christians do exactly the same thing. They take a little section of the Bible and they take it out of context, and then they use it for their own purpose. It's the same thing. The jihad in the Quran is actually all about fighting the demon within yourself.
Yes.
And so, and there is more in the Quran about Mother Mary and everything else than there is, and about the Divine Mother, than there is in the whole of the Bible. There is also beautiful chapters about Master Jesus, and who they reckon in Islam was a major avatar. And so you have all of this happening there, and it is a beautiful, absolutely kind, loving religion in exactly the same way as the shall we say, the moderate Christian. The moderate Muslim is no different to a moderate Christian. And so you have all of these. And so the other thing is that is happening is that we are being brought, this is bringing us into a post-denominational experience in our lives, because I believe as well by 2025 that Rome will have imploded into itself. Christianity will finally emerge from all the lies and everything else that we've been told to keep us in control. And over the years, that all of that will come out, and we will no longer be living in this fear. We will be in a post-denominational, and where we will be in beings of light. We will all be children of God, and we will all belong to the church of what's happening now. And so that of course is my church. I believe that I'm a child of God, and I believe that I'm a member of the church of what's happening now, because all I have is now. What happened 10 minutes ago is gone. I can't reclaim it. And what's going to happen tomorrow, I can't preach, because tomorrow has not arrived yet. So all I have is the now and the energy of the now. And that's why it is for each of us, when we get our divine guidance or whatever it is to work with it in the now, in that particular moment in time. Because that's where you're connected. That's where you have your divine inspiration. And that's where it is for you to move forward. And you know, when you go to, for any of you that have been to John of God in Brazil, that's what happens at John of God. You're there, you're in the current room, you're in meditation for maybe 5 hours a day, and you get all this divine inspiration and divine, all these beings and entities working with you, and you're being healed on all levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. You come away from there, And you have your feet on this crystalline grid that's underneath the ground, and you're there, and you come away a totally transformed person. And so it's the same thing. This is where we're each going in the fifth dimension. We're transforming our lives by living in the now. Okay? I'll get off my soapbox for a minute.
I have a question, if I may.
Yeah.
And I think this is Shirley. I thank you so much. You are so very appreciated. I did
not hear
what you said. I joined the call later about Donald Trump. I would so appreciate hearing the wisdom that you received. And also, there's some controversy or whether the Wesak Festival happens in April or in May. Could you address that, please?
Okay.
Nice, thank you.
I'll do Donald Trump first. Donald Trump, and when I was in meditation, because Ray One is the destroyer or transmuter of energies that no longer serve humanity. And so I was looking at it and thought that, okay, the Republican Party, they're in total disarray. And here it is. Donald Trump is the instrument being used to disintegrate the Republican Party because they're in total disarray. They have no idea what they stand for anymore. And so this is all part of moving us into the fifth dimension and the awakened consciousness, because anything that no longer serves humanity will just be transmuted. And so if the Republican Party is to be transmuted, they will have to come back as and totally reconstituted as a different thing and helping to serve the people, because right now they're definitely not serving the people. And so this is what I know and feel about Donald Trump. And so that was what I was saying. And so if all of the people of the Republican Party, all of the leadership have to look and see what they're about and see how over the last 10 or 12 years, how they have not, or maybe 15 years, whenever George Bush Jr. got elected, from there on, how they have not served the American people or how they have not served humanity around the world. And so it is now disintegrating. And you have all these crazy ideas and everything else, which normal people would not, you know, just because of a person's religion, you're not going to allow them into the country. You know, I was driving along, I was up in Denver last week, and I saw this sign, all Muslims, on the side of a truck, all Muslims are our enemies.
Mm.
And this guy had this on a huge sign on the side of his truck.
Oh my gosh!
You know that's you know, things like that, and they bring it to our awareness, and that's how things collapse. And if you look at the Roman Catholic Church, it is collapsing through abuse. You know, because everything, all the scandals and everything about sexual abuse and everything else that came out, and there's more and more revelations coming out every day. And so all of that, that's part of the total collapse, and all the things they have been telling us about, you know, that they changed from the 12th century on, all the books of the Bible and everything else that they have hidden from us. And you will see the total collapse of Christianity, because it will, one of these days, it will come out and the truth will set everybody free. And that's why our religion today should be, because religion is about binding us back to God. And spirituality is about that flame that burns within each of us. And that flame is that golden flame of this age that we're in now. And that golden flame that burns within each of us is what's taking us into the golden age, because it is the age of the golden flame. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's taking us. Now, as regards Wesak, normally it is in May. You are correct. But it is in this, you have to look at the sign. It is at the full moon in Taurus. And so this year, because Easter was so early and Aries was so early, it follows on the next full moon. And the Festival of Humanity, which is usually much later in as well, is in, let's see when the Festival of Humanity is. Wait till I get my little calendar here. And so that's much earlier because as well here, the full moon of May is the 21st of May. So you have the Festival of Humanity. Normally that would be April, May, and June. You know, but because of the way the zodiac is running and the full moon. And see, Easter is what sets the Aries, the full moon in the sign of Aries is what sets Easter. And Easter is the first Sunday following the full moon in the zodiacal sign of Aries. It's not in the sign of Aries. It's in the zodiac as in Aries. And so Easter comes the first Sunday after that. And then the next full moon after that is Wesak. The next full moon after that is the Festival of Humanity. And they are the three most powerful full moons of the year. And so normally Easter is not until April, but we had Easter in March this year. So everything has moved forward. And so that, because Aries is the first moon in the the zodiac. And so then the next one is Taurus, and that Taurus is when Wesak's in Taurus. So I know it's always people get very conflicted about it. And
well,
but
thank you so much for sharing that. It makes sense.
Yeah, that's how it is done. And of course this year it's in we have all these planetary things going on this year. It's going to be such a powerful full moon. And, you know, we have, as I said earlier on, we have Mercury going, Mars has already gone direct, retrograde, on the 17th of this month, and it will be there until the 29th of June. We have Mercury going retrograde on the 28th of April, and it's going to be there through the 22nd of May. We have Jupiter who went retrograde on the 7th of January, and it's going to be there until the 9th of May. We have Saturn, which went retrograde on the 25th of March, and it's going to be retrograde until the 13th of August. We have Pluto, which went retrograde 2 days ago on April the 18th, and that's going to be until September the 26th. And we have Juno that went March the 2nd, and it's going to be there until June the 22nd. And
powerful
so we have all of that. And the time of the major cosmic energetic explosion that's going to be a really intense time for us all is going to be from April the 28th through May 9th. That's when it's going to be at its highest, because and Jupiter is going at that time. May 9th, Jupiter is going to be the first one to leave us. So that will be having its final hurrah from at its most potent from April 28th. And of course, we have all the other planets in there with it as well. And so these are all the things. So, you know, we could be in, it would be like going on a big slide. And, you know, what you call it? Roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was looking for. Roller coaster. And so we have no idea what's going to come up for us or what the issues are going to come. So we're going to have all these beautiful things happening to us. And we just have to stay with it. And as I said earlier on, it may bring up shadow stuff for us. It may bring up some absolutely beautiful energies for us. We have no idea what it's going to bring up for us. And that's why living in the now and dealing with just today is really important. And because, as I said, yesterday is gone and tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. And 11 o'clock tonight hasn't arrived yet either. So all we have is just the now. And so it is for each of us to live life to the fullest in each and every one of these moments. And I know myself when I say I will do that tomorrow, the chances of me doing it tomorrow are slim when I put stuff off until tomorrow. And it's like, you know, my mother used to say when we were kids, tomorrow never comes, boys. You know, you need to do it today because tomorrow never comes. And so, and that was the whole thing. And the other thing she used to say to us, lift your legs, boys, when we'd have our shoes all scuffed. And she would say, lift your legs, boys, and they will fall from themselves. You know, so she had all these beautiful sayings that she used to have for us to get us to pay attention. And so, you know, it is all about attention that we pay to ourselves. Okay, does that answer your question?
It does indeed, dear one. Thank you so much.
Anything else from anybody?
Finbar?
Yes?
When you were speaking about advice, of some of our, you know, some of the major isms that are on the planet. I had this, I was just remembering back when we were at Lourdes and saw people from all over the world. We heard so many different languages. We saw so many different costumes from different countries worldwide, and it just kind of came to me that is what we're going to be celebrating as a planet at some point, where it doesn't really matter what the sense of the religion is. What is important is that everyone is together celebrating the beauty of all of humanity, because this is our home. That is it.
And so the more aware we become about the world about us, and the more that we, because each of us, we can change. As we change ourselves, so changes the world. Because as we raise our vibrations, we raise everything in the world about us. And so if our vibration is at, say, the normal person's vibration runs at about 64. And so, you know, as we use various essential oils and everything else, we move ourselves up. If we use, like, say, for example, frankincense, we move our vibration to 158. If we use rose oil, we can move our vibration to about 300, I think it's 350 from memory now, I'd have to look it up, but it's 300 and something. And so they are the two most powerful essential oils in the world. And as we use essential oils, so to, like, you know, if we drink a bunch of coffee, and because coffee takes our vibration down, if we just put some lavender on ourselves, we lift our vibration back up again. And so, you know, it's about us being aware, and it's about us being aware of what we put into our temple, and to read the labels of what we put in, and whether it's vitamins or whether it's food or what it is, to know what it is, because there are certain vitamins and things that are just, they're chemicals. And then you have an absorption rate maybe of 5 or 10% of what you get, and then your kidneys are working overtime to get rid of, and your liver to get rid of all the chemicals and toxins that was part of the binders of these so-called vitamins. And we have the same with whole foods and just because it says that it's a natural product doesn't mean that it's natural, and that it's organic, and that it doesn't have chemicals in it, because it does. And so it is for each of us to fully understand what it is that we are putting into our body. And it is extremely important for us to understand that. And, you know, it's like the Cathars, you know, they left us a beautiful thing about where the world was going. And they wrote this Cathar prophecy in 1244. And if you'd like to hear it, I can read it out to you. And it says, the Cathar prophecy of 1244. The last of the Cathars were burned by the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church at Montségur, Languedoc, France in 1244. But they left us this prophecy that the Church of Love would be proclaimed in 1986. It has no fabric, only understanding. It has no membership save those who know they belong. It has no rivals because it is non-competitive. It has no ambition. It seeks only to serve. It knows no boundaries, for nationalisms are unloving. It is not of itself because it seeks to enrich all groups and religions. It acknowledges all great teachers of the ages who have shown the truth of love. Those who participate practice truth and love with all their beings. There is no walk of life or nationality that is a barrier. Those who are, know. It seeks not to teach, but to be, and by being enriched. It recognizes the whole planet as a being of which we are a part. It recognizes that the time has come for the supreme transmutation, the ultimate alchemical act of conscious change of the ego into a voluntary return to the whole. It does not proclaim itself with a loud voice, but in the subtle realms of loving. It salutes all those of the past who have blazed the trail and paid the price. It admits no hierarchy or structure, for no one is greater than another. Its members shall know each other by their deeds and being, and by their eyes, and by no other outward sign save the fraternal embrace. Each one will dedicate their life to the silent loving of their neighbor and environment and the planet. While carrying out their task, however exalted or humble, it recognizes the supremacy of the great idea, which may only be accomplished if the human race practices the supremacy of love. It has no reward to offer either here or in the hereafter, save that of the ineffable joy of being and loving. Each shall seek to advance the cause of understanding, doing good by stealth, and teaching only by example. It shall heal their neighbors, their community, and our planet. They shall know no fear and feel no shame, and their witness shall prevail over all odds. It has no secrets, no acrament, no initiation, save that of the true understanding of the power of love, that if we want it to be so, the world will change, but only if we change ourselves first. All those who belong, they belong to the Church of Love. And that is the easiest way for me to explain to you all what I have been saying about these avatars and beings of light. And by being consciously aware and being a child of God, because in being a child of God, we are in love. We're in love with ourselves. We're in love with the world about us. We use all the teachings that Master Jesus brought us of love, forgiveness, and compassion. And they are the three things that have come to us to understand. And as we deal with the beings and avatars of light and the angels and everybody, we change our life. We become more loving. We emanate this love. And so as we emanate this, we change the world about us. We change ourselves. We change ourselves with our daily practice. I am a great believer in daily practice, that if we meditate each day, and if possible, doing it at the same time each day, because then your beings and angels and everybody that work with you know that you're going to be in meditation at 6 o'clock every morning or at 7 o'clock or whatever time it is that you have chosen to be in meditation. And
what you read is just so beautiful. How do we get a copy of that?
If you send me an email, I'll send you a copy of it.
Oh, thank you, dear one.
Finyar.
Yeah. Yes, Jackie.
What you just read is exactly what's going on at Lourdes 24/7, 365 days a year. It really is. And I think what was so powerful about our experience there, I mean, it was like, you know, it was like a Woodstock, everybody there was in a place of healing. They were in a place of higher vibrational frequency, also from being in the area, because I think geologically that area holds that space.
Mm.
And it's just like, oh my, it's, yeah. So,
yeah. But the major vibrational frequency there is water.
The water.
So that's my little connecting the dots.
Yeah. And so, you know, the way that I took you all through and showed you how to feel the energy of the water going through and opening up the chakras in the palms of your hands to feel, that's all the magic and mystery of Lourdes. That whole little section there in the grotto, that's what Lourdes is all about. It's not visiting the cathedral, it's not doing anything, and of course being dunked in the water itself. Is a major mystical experience, because it is, in a way, it is a baptism for you in the waters of Lourdes, which are the highest, according to Master Moto, Lourdes has the highest vibrational water in the world. And so you're being dunked in this major high vibrational water. And it is, you know, and I've had two healings at Lourdes. I've had one that was, hernia, and so that disappeared at Lourdes, and I could feel it happening. And then I had hemochromatosis, which means that I produced too much iron in my body, and I have to give blood to keep my iron levels right. And so in June of last year, I went to Lourdes, and I went from Lourdes to John of God, and then I came back and in August, and I was going to I went to Grand Junction to give blood, and they wouldn't take my blood because my iron levels were so low. My iron levels were at 12.4, and my iron levels would usually have been way up at least 15-18. And to keep it in check, I had to give blood at least four times a year. And so now my blood levels are down between 12.5 and 13. And I no longer have the hemochromatosis. So between John of God and Lourdes, that took care of all of that. And now, you know, I have to watch my iron levels that it doesn't go any lower, because if it goes below 12, I go anemic. So, you know, it's
the opposite thing.
It's the opposite, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all of these wonderful things happen to us when we're, you know, visit these high frequency places. And it's like all the sacred sites tours, we walk in irrespective, each and every site that we visit has its own matrix, its own energy. And it takes the person, as each person will have a different experience in it. But we lift ourselves to a higher vibration and consciousness when we're in there. And that's why when people come back from a trip, because it's like a tour, whether it's 10, 12, 14 days, 16 days, whatever length it is, it's a spiritual intensive. And you're in this intensive energy for that amount of time. And then you come back and it can take anything up to a month or 6 weeks to process everything that's happened to you on this trip. because it's you're in this high vibrational energy, and you come back into the world and you have all this stuff of the noise of cars beeping and traffic and all of these different things that you really didn't have that much of when you were on the trip, because most of the places that we go to are out in the country, and they're not,
And I think sometimes you don't understand the transformation as well. I mean,
yeah.
You know that there's been transformation, but you don't on an intellectual level even understand it completely.
Yeah.
You feel it. You experience it.
You feel it, and different things happen in your lives after you come back. I've had people change their jobs, saying, "No, people leave high pressure jobs." All sorts of things like this happen because they realize whatever happens to them, whatever experience they've had, life changes for them. You know.
Yeah.
And they become totally new people, they look at the world in a totally different way.
You know, Finbar, what I've found to be true is upon returning home, it's sometimes not easy to intellectualize it or verbalize it or be very cerebral about it because it's not coming from the brain, but it's coming from the heart.
It's coming from the heart,
yeah. What has happened is you've changed, and because of that, you'll never be the same. And what I have found, and I am very happy about this, is this affects other people around you. And it's not something that you can put into words and really scientifically intellectualize, but it's all about emotions and the heart. And once again, you'll never be the same, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you another question now, Sir James. You know, you've been to Scotland, I think, about 5 times with me. And every time you go to Scotland, you have a different experience at the same sites. Isn't that correct? Because your vibrational level is different every time you go there.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you go back, I've had people who've done France 3-4 times with me. And every time they go back, they have a different and more meaningful experience. Because there you have the ancient site. It has this matrix. You have your experience there. You come back the following year, and you go there again, and you have a different experience because your vibrational level is at
different.
A different. Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, people have said to me, why do you go to this little island of Iona? You've been there 4 times. Why don't you go to Hawaii, or why don't you go? And I said, well, it might be the same little island, but it's not the same experience. I said, do you have any idea what it is like to be in a circle and to have the Abbey of Iona to yourself? And last time, in the bitter cold, when they turned the electric off on us and everything, we had the whole bloody island to ourselves.
That's right.
We can't, you know.
Nobody wanted to be there.
And the same thing, you know, you go to Ireland and you go to Tara and you go to these wonderful places, and you might go over and over again, but it's not the same over and over. It's a whole different over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Every time it's a different experience, and so it's the same, you know, as we go through each of these gateways. And as we look every year and take into account it, all the people that have been following since, 2007, when this whole process started with me, of the consciousness changing, and when I started working with the ascension work, and then started, when we went into the fifth dimension at the winter solstice 2012, and as we move forward and as we go through each of these gateways, our vibration is lifted. And as we look and as we do our shadow work and everything else this year, and last year it was looking at our own divinity and the beauty of who we were. So we changed ourselves last year. The year before was our soul's journey. So we're looking at our soul and what our soul's journey and what that meant to us. So every time we ponder that, we take ourselves to another level. And as we take ourselves to another level, we take the world with us. And if you want to ever think about, see that working in action, if you're invited to a party and you know, you go into a room and there's 30, 40 people in the room, or there might only be 10 people or 15 people. If you just go into the room and stand inside the door and say nothing, and everybody is talking and all the noise and everything is going on and all the chatter, and you just stand there and let your vibration run out into the room, and slowly but surely you'll watch people will start to feel your vibration. They'll turn around. And they look at you and they say, Jimmy, what are you doing standing over there? You know, or something like that, because they will all feel the energy within 3 minutes of you walking into that room. And all you have to do is stand there. And that is the effect we have on the world.
It is the electromagnetic energy that you are sending out,
yep.
And it's coming back to you, and it's all about global coherence. And, the world affects us, but we simultaneously affect the world. And that electromagnetic field, it goes out and out and out, and it brings it right back to you.
Yeah, that's by being, we do a lot of things. We don't have to say anything. All we need to do is be, and we can change. We can change a whole bunch of things in the world. And that's the importance of, and by being, we're in non-judgment. And so we're not holding any energies about all of that. And so we have a love vibration, you know, a light. We're basically light beings, and we're relying on our light to go out. And when we go into negativity, we close down our battery, our generator that's sending out this love and light. And this is as these planets are retrograde now, it is very important for us to not go into any negativity, because then we're sending out the vibration of negativity instead of sending out the positive vibrations that we're sending out at this moment in time. So, anybody else got anything they would like to ask? So, if everybody is done, I will say good night to you and wish you all the beauty of love and joy in your lives. And just feel the energy that flows. If you take your fingers, just as closing, starting with your little finger, the color that emanates from that is blue, and then the next one is green. Your middle finger is gold, which is the finger of God. And then you have violet, and your thumbs are indigo. So they're the colors that emanate out through your fingers. If you think of that, you have those five colors that are emanating out through it. Blue, green, gold, violet, and indigo. They are emanating out from you all the time. And you just, every time you think of your fingers and the energy that you're sending out, these are the colors that are flowing out through you. So with that, I will bless you all and thank you all for being here this evening. And if you have any questions or it's something you didn't think about at the time, you can send me an email and I can call you to discuss it, or you can call me, or you can just send me an email. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Finbar.
Good night, Finbar.
Good night.
Thank
all
you very
have
much.
A blessed evening. Good night.
Thank you soon.
Thanks,
Thank
Finbar.
You.
Good night.